Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight, we want to study or we want to look at the topic, the nature of God. The nature of God. I know that many of us, or as Christians, we are familiar with some of the nature of God. This topic is a very broad one and is a very important one. It is important because the nature of God, when we understand who God is, we will relate with God just that way. If you have a friend and you do not understand the nature of that friend, what will happen? What is likely going to happen? There will be clashes and all of that, isn't it? You have misunderstanding because you have not understood who that person really is. If husband and wife do not understand one another, if you do not come to that conclusion that this is how my wife is, this is how my husband is, or this is who he is, every time you will misunderstand his behavior or her behavior. And so that this topic is very important for us as Christians, for us as children of God, because things happen in our lives and we react based on our understanding of God. The way we receive events in our lives, the way we interpret things that happen in our lives are based on, or is based on, our understanding of God. What is God doing based on who he is, or who I have understood him to be? So this is why it is important that we look at the topic, the nature of God. And because it's a very broad topic, we will not be able to take everything. We'll just start and see how God leads us tonight. So what we mean by the nature of God is that we are looking at his characteristics. We are looking at his attributes. We are looking at who he is. So, as we have said earlier, no relationship can survive without each person understanding the other person. How far your relationship with God goes is dependent on how you understand him. So we all relate to God based on what we think about him, or who we think he is, or how we understand him to be. So as Christians, we thank God that the Bible, as we search the Bible, we see revelations, or we see the Bible helps us to understand who God is. And we'll start by looking at number one, God being a sovereign God. God being a sovereign God. What do we understand by the word sovereign? When we say God is sovereign, what are we saying? Yeah? It's Bible study. So let's share. What's the meaning of sovereign? God's sovereignty. What's the meaning of that? Who wants to tell us? When we say God is sovereign, what are we saying? Sir? God has all authority. Yes, ma'am. God rules over everything. Thank you. So God has all authority. God rules over all authority. God is supreme. God has the final say. So one characteristic of God, or one nature of God, is that he is sovereign. He has the final say. He has authority. He rules over everything. He cannot be questioned. That's what it means. It cannot be questioned. You know, we sing it, unquestionable, you are the Lord. Unquestionable. We sing it. It's something we sing. Well, you see, the reason why this is important is that many times when events happen in our lives, we question God. But, you know, we can question God. We can question him. But he doesn't owe you an answer. Hello? Is it compulsory that he should answer you? He must answer you. If he likes, he answer. If he likes, he will not answer. Because he's sovereign. He has the final say. He has power over everything. He's the boss. He's over and above all things. He's unquestionable. You know, if you look at the book of Job, you always say that Job did not go back, did not. But you know that Job, he had issues. He questioned God, didn't he? Job challenged God. Oh, Job had to tell God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? But if you look at the book of Job chapter 38, by the time the Lord started confronting Job and questioning him, was he able to answer God? Okay, so that means I can actually question God. But if he begins to question me, will I be able to answer? So he questioned him till chapter 41. From chapter 38 to chapter 41. So when Job got to chapter 42, he surrendered. He said, I know God, that you can do what? You can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. He surrendered. And until he surrendered to God's sovereignty, that was when he had solution. That was when everything was resolved. So God is sovereign. God is God who has the final say. We can have our plans. We can do our own thing. But what God says we be, we do what? We'll be. So as his children, we must understand that we can plan. We can, many times as Christians, things don't work the way we have planned. Let us not think that because things do not work the way we have planned, God is not concerned. God is sovereign. We may not understand why things are the way they are, but let us know that God is still God who has the final say. Even over the world, he has the final say. He knows everything. So nothing is hidden from him. Let's see Psalm 135, verse 6. Psalm 135, verse 6 says, the Lord does whatever pleases him in heaven and on the earth. In the seas and in all the deep places, he does whatever pleases him. You know, the Yorubas will say in Yoruba, Asheyowu, the one who does whatever he likes. Anything he likes, he can do. And you know, if you have a boss who is in charge, who is in control, will he not do whatever he likes? He will do whatever he likes now. He can tell the staff, you are not going home today until 10 o'clock. That is a human being saying what he likes because he's in charge. So God also, the Bible says he does whatever pleases him. So in our lives, let us come to that point where we can say, God, you are sovereign. Whatever is happening to my life, whatever is happening in my life, you are sovereign. You are in control. You are in control. Let's see Job. Okay, we've talked about Job 42, verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 3. Isaiah 43, verse 3. Let's see Isaiah 43. It says, for I am the Lord your God, the only one of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. He said, I am the Lord your God. So the God who can allow, who can make one special and make the other not special, isn't it? That's God. And so we must understand that this God is sovereign. We cannot understand him totally and completely. If anybody comes to say, I know how God works, you discover that if you think you already know that he works this way, he will change. You can never put God in a box because he is God and he's sovereign. So as his children, we must always look up to him. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. What does the Bible say in 1 Chronicles? It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom you are exalted as said over all. Is God over everything? Is God over everything? So what is this telling us as Christians? For you to have peace, you must submit to the sovereignty of God. So the implication for me as a Christian, as a child of God, is that if I want peace, I must do what? Submit to God's sovereignty. I must submit to his sovereignty. I must let him have his way in my life. Whether it is palatable, whether it is not palatable, I must come to that point where I say, God is in control. God is in control. So because he's in control, everything is okay. You know, there's this song we sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he owns my future and life is worth a living just because he lives. Because he lives, because he's sovereign, because he has control and power over everything, because he's in charge, because he's the one calling the shots. Whatever happens in my life, whatever is happening in my life, whatever will happen in my life, I must be at peace that God is sovereign and is in control. So another implication is that for you to overcome any situation in your life, you must acknowledge and submit. So I must submit to him. I must acknowledge every situation. For me to overcome it, I must acknowledge and submit. Like we said and we saw in the life of Job. The second character or characteristic of God is that God is omniscient. God is omniscient. What's the meaning of omniscient? It means God is what? Is what? All-knowing. So God is in charge. It's not only that he's in charge, God knows everything. He knows everything. You know, a guy can be, you can be the head in an office and you don't know what is happening, isn't it? You may not know what is happening in the life of the staff, although you are the boss, but you don't know what is happening. Although you are the father, you don't know everything that is happening to your children. You know it happens. And things now come up and you are wondering, are you sure this is the child you are talking about? Because you are not omniscient. But God, he is in charge and he knows everything. So nothing happens, nothing takes God unawares. He knows everything. He knows everything. About me, he knows everything. Nothing is hidden before him. He knows all your thoughts. He knows all your fears. He knows all your desires. He knows your shortcomings. He knows all your secrets. Nothing is hidden before him. God knows us. He knows everything about us. There is no secret. You remember in the book of Daniel, the Bible says, I think chapter 2, the king had a dream. And he could not remember his dream. And he needed interpretation. And he was telling the, what are they called now? The astrologers. He said they should tell him what? His dream. And then tell him the interpretation. What were they saying? What did they tell him? They said, that's not possible. If you want an interpretation to your dream, what will you do? You tell us the dream. How can I interpret what I don't know? But was Daniel able to interpret it? Was he able to interpret it? You know, he said there's a God in heaven who does what? Who reveals secrets. Let's see Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. There Daniel said there's a God, but there's a God in heaven who does what? Who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are this. But let us first see what the other said. Daniel chapter 2 from verse 9. Daniel 2 from verse 9. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. Okay, that was what he was saying. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked. Let's see verse 10. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. So they were telling him, oh, nobody can tell you. But was there somebody who could tell him? And why was he able to tell him? Because he had what? A God who reveals secrets, who reveals mysteries. And Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to who? To God. But who does he reveal them to? He reveals them to us. So God is God who knows everything. Things may be happening in our own lives that we don't even know. We just know we have this issue, and we don't know why it is happening, and we don't know what to do about it. But there's a God who knows. Should that give us joy? I think that is making me excited. That there's a God who knows. Even if I do not know my own problem, there's a God who knows. So God is omniscient. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden. No matter how we cover it up, no matter what we do, so that it is not revealed, God is able to reveal it. God is God who reveals. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, that all are open and laid bare before him. Everything, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him, to whom we must give account. Everything, because actually he created everything. He is God over everything. So nothing is hidden. So let us be rest assured, no matter what point we are in our life, no matter what the situations are, no matter the secrets we want him to reveal to us, God can reveal to us. Because he revealed to who? To Daniel. And he's still the same. He said he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow. So what he did before, he can do. Whether concerning my children, I need to know some things, God can reveal to me. Concerning my spouse, I want to know some things, God can reveal. Concerning my job, I need to know some things, God can reveal. Because if I am a child of God, he wants to give me the secrets. And like I said when I started, it is important that we understand the God we are moving with, the God that we call our God. Because we do not, if man does not know that the God he serves is able to reveal, what will he be doing? He will be running up and down. And that is why so many people are running, looking for churches where they will tell them visions and dreams, where they will be able to call their names and tell them their date of birth and tell them the number of their house number. And, you know, so, I'm not saying God does not do that. God cannot do that. But I'm saying if that is your focus, you know, some people can tell you your date of birth and tell you your mother's name and tell you your father's name and tell you your problem, but they will not give you solution. But they will make you their servant. You'll be running after them every time. And some people actually can tell you and make you a slave to them. So that every time you're always going to them, before you travel, you must tell them, I want to travel. Is it good? Should I go? And if they say you don't go, you don't go. You know, some people, even their father's burial, they won't go. Because somebody said, you shouldn't go. The road is not good. Can you imagine that? Their father's burial. They will not go because somebody has revealed to them. Is that person God? But you know, if you're a child of God, God who sees ahead, he knows how he's going to protect you because you have called upon him and you have trusted him. In fact, there is this man, I won't mention his name, who is a leader of one of these white garment churches. Did he not die in accident? He died in accident now. But yet, they see vision. Yet, they dream. Because God is over everybody. God is sovereign. If God says that in that journey, anything will happen. If he's my God, he's able to do what? He's able to keep me. Because he knows all things. He can delay me so that I will not meet that journey. He knows everything. God knows everything. Nothing is hidden because he's the creator. So let us relate with him as God who knows us. Let's not relate with him from afar. If I know that you understand me, I will not hide anything from you. I will not hold back anything from you. I will just release myself to you. Isn't that many of us, husband and wife, have you ever thought about it? The time you first met your spouse, you didn't know each other very, very intimately, did you? You did not. But now what has happened? You have become one over the years. After we've learned and discovered part of the along the way we made mistakes, we offended one another, but we made up because we knew we were together. And knowing that this man knows me, this woman knows me, we're able to move on, isn't it? But when we get to that point where we are not able to accept every other person the way they are, we are not able to move on. And that is when they say irreconcilable what do they call it? Those when they are going to divorce, they'll say irreconcilable difference. And that's the way some of us relate with God. We do not want to reconcile. The devil is telling us, God is not sovereign enough to handle everything. Doesn't have final say here. Or God does not know how this thing feels. Part of his knowing is that he even knows how it feels. He knows how you feel. He knows your pain. So if he knows your pain, you think he will not do anything about it? Or you think he's not doing something about it? It may not make sense. You may not see the bigger picture. You may not understand. But know that God does what? He knows. And because he knows, put it in his hand. Put it in it. Because many times the things we are actually agitating for and running to get, God already has seen ahead. And because he has seen ahead, he doesn't want to give us now. But because we do not know, or we have not accepted that God knows, we are eager to have it. We are eager to have it. Let us just rest on God and trust in him and believe that because he's our God, he knows everything. He knows the condition where you are now and is able to fix it. He's able to carry you on. He's able to give you testimonies and give you solution. So God is all-knowing. Let us read some passages. Psalm 147 verse 5. Psalm 147 verse 5. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has what? Has what? No limit. My understanding has limits. Your understanding has limits. Your doctor's understanding has limits. But the understanding of God has what? No limits. He has no limits. He knows everything. Any subject, he knows it. So as a student, he knows everything. And he can give you wisdom. Job 34:21-23. It says, his eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. There is no dark place, no deep shadow where evildoers can hide. God has no need to examine men further that they should come before him for judgment, because already he does what? He knows them. You know, the psalmist said, where can I actually hide from your presence? Eh? Is there anywhere I can hide from? He sees everything. He knows everything. So let us know that the God we serve is a God who knows everything. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. What did he tell Jeremiah? He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I did what? I already knew you. So he said, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So God already has known every one of us. If you could tell Jeremiah that before you were formed, it means that, you know, on your bones we say there's a stage where the baby in the womb is not baby already. It's not already baby. I don't know what they call it, but they say it's not baby. But God said to Jeremiah, even before he was formed, he already knew him. So for those who abort, there's no time that is okay to abort. Because God already knows. The day that child was already, the foundation of that child was laid, God knew. So God is all-knowing. So the implication is that this awareness will give us peace in times of trouble. In Luke chapter 12 verse 7, he says, even the hair on your head, he knows the number, isn't it? So if you know, if he can count the number of hair on my head, it means that he can see everything I'm going through. He knows everything. So let us be assured that God knows everything. And then your faith should be strong to the point that you know that distance is not a barrier to God. Many things may be hidden to us, but not to God. God, no matter where, God can see anything. The third attribute of God is that God is holy. God is holy. So we have seen that God is sovereign, God is omniscient, God is holy. He's a holy God. And what does that mean? He is pure. He is without blemish. There is no sin in him. God is perfect. He is without sin. So because of this holiness, God is unique. So the God that we serve is a God that is holy. He cannot stand sin. And this actually is important for us to know, because our relationship with God will be smooth when we deal with him, or when we relate with him based on his holiness. He's a holy God. Just like if a father sees a child that is soiled, the father is coming from work, or he has gone out, is coming in, and the child is soiled all over, will the father grab the child and carry? Will he do that? What will he want the child to do? Or the parent or the mother or somebody to do? Or even himself, what will he first do? Clean him up. And when you are going to clean him, you know how you are going to handle that child with care so that it does not soil you. That's the same way God wants us to. He wants us to be clean before we come. You cannot relate with God intimately if there is a sin in your life. God is holy. So because of his holiness, he's unique. Let's see Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3. When Isaiah saw God, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another. What were they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. God that we serve is holy. And we cannot come close to him unless we are clean. Psalm 99 verse 9. And Revelation 4 verse 8. Psalm 99 verse 9. Let's see Psalm 99 verse 9. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. And so our coming close to God is a result. The Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 3. It says, who may ascend the hills of the Lord? And who may do what? Dwell in his holy place. He who does what? Who has a clean heart? Who has a clean hands? Who has clean hands and pure hearts? So we can only come to God when we are holy. When we fall short of this standard of holiness, we fall short of his glory. And it takes holiness to align with God. It is what grants us peace with God. So sometimes we may need to check our lives and our ways when things are not going on very well. The Bible says we cannot remain in sin and ask that grace should abound, isn't it? We cannot continue the way we are and think that things will go free, go on smoothly. So as children of God, as we relate with God, as the sovereign God, as the all-knowing God, let us also know that he is God who is holy. And no one can see his face. And if you look at the story of the children of Israel, you discover that the reason why they couldn't come close to God was because of their sin. God's intention was not for someone to be closer to him, Moses to be closer, while others were far away. And that was why he made provision through Jesus Christ. The curtain was separated so that we could boldly come. And there's what we call imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness, which we got through Jesus Christ. We are made righteous by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And so every one of us at every point in our lives must live in that righteousness, must enjoy that righteousness, must always come to him knowing that he's holy. Must be quick, when he points our attention to our sins, must be quick to make amends so we can come to him. He has already made provision for us to be to be able to come to his presence. Romans chapter 4. From verse 22 to 24. Let's see Romans 4. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Go on. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Was talking about Abraham. That the righteousness of Abraham was not for him again, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So Jesus Christ, because of his death, because of his resurrection, has given us that opportunity to come to the Father, to find grace before him, because now we are made holy by his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if anyone thinks that God is far away, like I said, we relate with God, if you do not understand the way we understand him to be. So if you think God is too holy, I can't come to him, you always run away from him. God wants us to come. God wants us to be close to him. And that is why he made provision through his son Jesus Christ. Another characteristic of God, or another nature of God, is that God is eternal. God is eternal. He cannot change. People may change, isn't it? People die. People make promises and they fail. But God remains the same. When a man makes promise, as long as that man is alive, that promise can hold. If he says, I'm going to send you to university, don't worry. The moment he dies, you think that promise is finished. But God, because he's eternal, whatever he says, he will do. Can we see the example of that in the Bible? In the life of Abraham, you know, God told Abraham that your seed will actually inherit this land. They will be taken captive and they will spend 40 years and then I will bring them back. Did God do it? Hello? Did God do it? He did it. Because what he has said before still remains, because he does not die. And as long as he does not die, his words do not die. He's an eternal God. Let's see Genesis 15, 13 to 14. Genesis 15, 13 to 14. What God said in Genesis 15, 13 to 14. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Now, at this time, Abraham didn't have a child, though. You know he didn't have a child. And also, the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, let's see. Now, let's compare Exodus 12, 40 and 41. Let's compare Exodus 12, 40 and 41. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Did he fulfill his promise? Did he fulfill his promise? Whatever he says, he will do. There's this song I love to sing. It says, that is why you are called Jehovah. What you say, you will do what? You will do. That is what you will do. And that is why as children of God, we understand that the character of God, the nature of God, have been revealed to us from his word. And so you, if you hold on to God's word, what is that particular word that he has given you? I keep saying that because I believe that if we have the word of God, the word of God never fails. The word of God stands sure. The word of God stands sure. The Bible says the grass may wither, the flower may fade, but what happens to his word? The word of God will remain. And so because he is eternal, his word will never fail. If he has given you a word concerning anything, hold on to that word as long as you are sure that this is God, this is the word that the Lord gave me. I always tell people that it is good that you will receive a word concerning that situation. Because that gives you peace. If you do not have a word concerning the situation in your life, you'll be running up and down. And people will be telling you what to do. Because you yourself, you have not received what you should do. So God is eternal. Heaven and earth may pass away. It's not an iota of my word. We do what? We go unfulfilled. God is eternal. That is the God that we serve. He's an eternal God. He does not die. He fulfilled his word because he's eternal. Psalm 119 verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord. Your word is what? Settled in heaven. His word is settled. Whatever he has said concerning you, I want you to hold on. Maybe you have even forgotten those words. Go back and remind yourself of that passage or those passages that he used in giving you peace. You see, many times we are afraid because we do not read enough of God's word. Hello. Many times we are afraid because we do not do what? We do not read enough of God's word. If we read enough of God's word, we will see instances where God has performed wonders. And you will ask yourself, if God did it then, can he not do it now? Can he not do it now? He can do it. Some time ago, when I was still growing in the Lord, I discovered that whenever I was not consistent with my Bible reading, I would be having some funny dreams, some fear. I would be having fear. Then the Holy Spirit pointed my attention to the fact that I was not reading my Bible enough. Because where there is no faith, there will be what? There will be fear. So God is eternal and he's the same as his word. So if we just hold on to his word, believing that this word will not drop, this word will not fail, this word will remain, then we can move on because that is who he is. Man may fail, he will not fail. That is his nature. Whatever he has told you, whatever you are going through, hold on to his word. Maybe tonight you will go to God and say, God, give me a word concerning this situation. Just give me a word. The moment he gives you that word, things will be falling here and there. People will be running here and there. You know that what God has told me is what I'm holding on to because he does not fail. Because his word is the same as he is. So that song we sing, God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. God can do anything. But what? The only thing he cannot do is that he cannot fail. The Bible says even though we remain faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot do what? He cannot deny himself. He's eternal. That's the God we serve. So when we understand the God we serve, it will be easy for us to cope with life. The last one I want us to see tonight is that God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. And that means that God is what? He's all powerful. Every power in heaven and on earth belongs to who? Belongs to God. And in God's dealings with his children, he showed them that he is a powerful God. From Genesis to Revelation, we see God as he manifests his power. In the life of the children of Israel, did he manifest his power? Hello? Did he manifest his power? Look at the 10 plagues. He was showing his power. He was showing his power. He was showing his power. That God is a God that is powerful. He's a powerful God. He has ability. He can never be limited. He can never be limited. No matter what the situation, he can change situation because of you. He can stop something from happening because of you. He can bring delay because of you. Because that is his power. The God that we serve. There is nothing. If you look at the life of Abraham, look at the age of Sarah. The Bible says she had passed. The Bible says her body as good as death. I love Hebrews 11 verse 11. She was as, and 11 also talked about the man. Both of them. She said she was past age. She was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him, okay, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age. And Sarah herself was barren. Another translation says she was as good as dead. But did God bring something out of it? By what now? Through science. His power. So I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what the situation may be. But God is powerful. And today we see testimonies of that same God who changed the situation. Someone that the doctors have said, well, let's just watch him. Let's give him maybe before morning. We're not sure he will make it. And by morning, the person is out of bed. He's already standing. He's gone. Is that not the power of God? That's the power of God. I was listening to a testimony of a woman like 15 years ago who was pregnant with 5 children. And the doctors, because of her health, they said she should allow them to take some, maybe one, at least one. And she told the doctor, now, if you have 5 fingers, which of the fingers will you tell them to cut? Which of them? I cannot make the choice that they should just, you should just leave them. So those children now, they will be 16 this year. 2 boys, 3 girls. What sustained them? The power of God. The Bible says, with men, this may be impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. That all means all. You see, many times, what we read, what we hear, we just think, this one, that person carries a special faith than me. No. He says, if you believe, you see what? You see the glory of God. It's a matter of faith. Just trust. Just obey. Just believe and you will see his power. Let's see Isaiah 26 verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 26, 4 and 5 says, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah or in God, the Lord is his everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. In him is everlasting strength. He has all the power. Luke chapter 1 verse 37, which we have already said, with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Even when you have told yourself, see, forget it. But can you just today rekindle your faith in God on that situation? Or even is someone that you think, this one, nothing can happen. We've done everything. We fasted. Do you know God can still bring change by the power of his hand? He can bring. Jeremiah 32 verse 27 says the same thing. Jeremiah 32 27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? There's that song we love to sing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Don't we sing it? We sing it, but do we believe it? You see, our problem is not that we don't know. We know. We have a lot of knowledge. We can even cite the scriptures. Our problem is coming to terms with who God is. Believing that this God that we serve is who he says he is. And what he has done before, he can do now. So we must move from that stage of, I know, head knowledge. Let us come to that conclusion in our hearts And let us begin to confess it so that we can receive. Jude chapter 1, verse 25. Jude 1, 25. It says, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. To him alone. And he has given that power to his son, isn't it? Jesus Christ. He has all the power. And the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, what happens? Every knee bows. So if you have the name of Jesus in your mouth, should you be afraid? No. Should you not believe that he can do it? No. We should believe that he can do it. Psalm 33 verse 9 and Isaiah 44, 24. Psalm 33 verse 9. Psalm 33 verse 9. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and he stood firm. Look at God. When the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, how he parted the sea. And the waters became walls, isn't it? On the right and on the left. And the children of Israel passed through dry ground. But look at the children of Israel. The moment they left that, they didn't see food. What were they doing? What were they doing now? Are we not like that? Are we not like that? After they had food, it was water. They were still shouting. Could they not have just said, Moses, so tell God who gave us food, that we need water. And they should have just done what? Kept quiet. But they were agitated. They were shouting, just like I will do. Because I'm limited. And because I've not come to that point to know that this God is powerful. We are agitated because we believe that these things are too much. These problems are too much. Let us begin to see God as being bigger and higher and greater than our problems and our situations. Isaiah 44:24. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer. Who formed you in the womb? I am the Lord who has made all things. Who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. He's God. His God is the powerful God. He sustains the earth. He sustains the heaven. See, the heavens have not fallen. God still remains God. Things are still working because of God. His power. And he shows his power through nature, through his deeds. And so, as we relate with him, we will get to understand him better. We must put our trust and faith in him. We must reference him because he can do and undo. That's another aspect of his power. Because he has power, he can undo. He can do. He can kill. He can bring to life. The Bible says we should fear those who... many times we fear those who can kill the body. Matthew 10:28. But it says, don't fear those people. Fear him who can kill here and even in hell. That's God that we should reference and fear. God's power is beyond our comprehension. He has power over the past. He can redeem our days. He can renew our youth like eagles. He can restore hope. That is God. He has power. He can meet the past that you have missed, so that you can now leave that past. You say, my time has passed. No, God can make it look like you are just enjoying it. There's nothing he cannot do. So, therefore, let us submit to him. Let us reference him. Let us rely on him totally and completely, because he has all the power. Nothing is impossible with him. He has all the power. And as a conclusion, let us know that the better you know about God, the easier it becomes to confront the issues that confront you. You are able to confront your issues when you know that God is big. Why was David able to confront Goliath? Was he able to confront Goliath? Was it because of the bows and the arrows and what he was wearing? Was that? He wasn't too. In fact, when Saul gave him all of those things, he was not used to them. They were too heavy. But he was coming in the name of who? In whose name was he coming? In the name of his father, Jesse. In the name of the king, Saul. Imagine, the king had all of those things. So have you ever thought about it? King, you are giving this small boy this thing to wear. But you've been carrying it, and you were not wearing it. Why did you not wear it to go and face him? If this your what's it called? Armor has not helped you. Now you are giving this boy. But what did the boy say? He said, I come to you in the name of the God Almighty, the God of the host of heaven. He went with stones and slings, and only one, not two, not three, not five, to show that it was God. It was God. So David could confront Goliath because he knew the God he was serving, that God is a powerful God. And that is why we must understand the nature of God, because it will help us to be able to confront our problems. It will help us to serve him the way we should serve him. We'll be able to serve him the way we should serve him. It will help us to be able to look up to him as the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray that the Lord will help us, even as we walk with him, and as we grow in our faith, it will help us to understand him better, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church, or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.